Now I'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from Genesis, chapter 29, verses 30, 31, through chapter 30, verses 24. The recitation verses are chapter 29, verses 31 through 35, and chapter 30, verses 22 through 24. Now I'll read. When the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he enabled her to conceive, but Rachel remained childless. Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, for she said, "It is because the Lord has seen my misery. Surely my husband will love me now." She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too." So she named him Simeon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "Now at last my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him three sons." So he was named Levi. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, "This time I will praise the Lord." So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. Chapter 30, verses 22 through 24. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." That is all. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ to worship you here at Minamichi Christ Church. Thank you for allowing us to be able to sing about how amazing you are and all the grace you bestow upon us. Dear God, we know that you are always present and that you are aware of everything about us. We ask, Lord, that in our daily lives, you will allow us to always have the desire to follow your heart. Dear Jesus, we ask that our thoughts be thoughts that are ones that are directly and deeply linked to you. Please, Lord, use us in the various places you have us placed to be able to bear great fruit. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will strengthen us weak people. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Amongst you today, I would like to know how many children are in your family. Are there single children, two, maybe three brothers, sisters, or so on? As for me, when I was in elementary school, amongst my friends, in my class anyway, there were some that had five or six children in their family, and there were a couple of them. In Japan, the number of children and families has actually decreased in number. By the way, up until now in Japan, do you know the person who has had the most children? Who do you think it is? He was actually a person who had 53 children. And he was in part of the Edo period. He was 11th shogun. And his name was Ienari Tokugawa. He had 53 children. And also Nobunaga Orita had 23 children. He's quite famous as well. Amongst them, of course, they had, you know, wives, but then they also had various concubines. So they were able to have relations with a number of women. And that is how they came up with such a large number of children. As for Eiichi Shibusawa, he is the person on the new 10,000 yen bill. He actually had a total of 18 children. Why did he have so many? Well, in addition to his lives, he also had other lovers in his life. And so some people are thinking, why would they put somebody like this on our 10,000 yen bill and give it out for like gifts of marriage as a symbol of a auspicious occasion when it's not appropriate? When you look around the world, though, it's a little different. In the 18th century in Poland, there was King Augustus II, and he had 360 children. And more impressive than that was in the 17th century in the Kingdom of Morocco was Moulay Ismail, who had 1,171 children. Pretty amazing, huh? And for you may know Bach, who's famous for music, he actually had 20 children. He was actually married twice. And so after his former wife died, then he was married again and had more children. In today's passage, we're reading about Jacob. And he also had a number of children, not quite as many as the people I just mentioned, but he did have 12 sons. And in today's passage, we're looking at 11 of them and how they came to be born. Let's learn a little bit about Jacob today. Who exactly was he? Well, his grandfather was Abraham. And Abraham was the start of the people of Israel, the Israelites. So his grandfather was Abraham. His father was Isaac. And his son was Jacob. As for Jacob, he actually had a twin, and his older brother was Esau. He was actually not the oldest son, therefore, but the second born. In those days, the oldest son had a special rights to receive not only physical and financial benefits, but also the blessing of the family. However, Jacob really wanted that, and was upset about it. And so when his older brother was with him at one time, he was able to trick him into getting it. And his father, Isaac, tried to bless who he thought was Esau, but Jacob actually tricked him into taking it in his place. And because of that, his older brother, Esau, wanted to kill his younger brother, Jacob. And he was just planning this murder. The mother of these two, Rebecca, heard about what was going on, and because these were both her children, and she heard that her older son was about to kill the younger one, she told Jacob what was going on and told him to run off to her hometown and to be safe for a while. And it wasn't just like two or three houses down the road. It was a distance of 720 kilometers in the area of Mesopotamia. So she told him to go there and hide for a while. And then when his older brother was no longer angry, then she would ask for or call for him to come be back. So he did run off. He ran basically for his life, 720 kilometers to his mother's hometown. In that area, he found his mother's brother, Laban, which would have been his uncle. And Laban had two daughters. His older daughter was Leah, and the younger one was Rachel. And Jacob really loved Rachel, the younger daughter. He worked very hard for his uncle, and at one time Laban said to him, "Wow, you're working really hard. Is there some way that I can pay you for all of your hard work?" And Jacob said, "Well, actually, I would really love to marry your younger daughter, Rachel, but I don't have enough money to pay that fee, so I'll work for you for free for 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. And then after that period of time, please give me Rachel." Laban gave the okay for this. After a period of 7 years, according to the Bible, it says that to Jacob, it was just like a second in time because he loved her so much. You can see the power of love can just be so strong. After this 7-year period, Jacob I was able to have this marriage ceremony with Rachel. Well, at least that was what was seeming to be going on. But that night, and when actually the next morning, he looked over to who was next to him, and it wasn't Rachel, but the older sister, Leah. And he thought, what in the world? But according to the custom of those days, the person to be married would have a veil over her face. And so it's likely that Jacob didn't even notice because of the veil. You know, they were, of course, you know, sisters as well. So they would have looked similar. Anyway, he found out the next morning it was not Rachel he'd married, but Leah. So he went to his uncle and said, "What is this you have done to me? You've tricked me." And Laban replied to him very clearly and said, "Well, and according to the customs in this area, we can't let the younger daughter be married before the older one. So if you really do want to marry Rachel, then first of all, just finish this 1 week with Leah. And then after that, you can have Rachel. I'll let you marry Rachel. But in return for that, please work 7 more years for free for me." Jacob had always in his life tricked so many people. But now he was on the side of the person being tricked. And the uncle really was quite mischievous in what he had done. So in this way, Jacob did marry both the older and the younger daughters. After the 7 years period, it explains what happened. Looking in verse 30, it says that Jacob he loved Rachel more than Leah. And then it also says that the Lord saw that Leah was not loved. And in another way of seeing this, it also means to prioritize. So Jacob was prioritizing Rachel over Leah. In a concrete way of thinking about this, each of the women would have had their own tent and their own house, in a sense. And when work was over, Jacob would have gone back to the tent area. However, he would have given Rachel priority in giving himself to her in priority rather than going to Leah instead. And it seems that he went there on more occasions. However, the one who was getting pregnant and having children was only the older daughter. It was Leah. So here it explains that Leah God saw Leah as being sad and allowed her to have children because of this. The first child that was born was named Reuben. The meaning of Reuben, the first part of it, Reu, means behold. Ben means a son. Behold a son. So Leah was able to have a child first and showed him to, you know, Jacob saying, look, this is your son. And because I've given you a son, won't you love me? And it's likely she would have had that desire when he decided on this name. However, that's not the case. And the second child was born between him and Leah, and the name Simeon was given. And this means listen. She was realizing that God was listening to her prayer, and that's why she named him that. The third child was born and was named Levi. Levi means to connect with or to draw near to. It's likely that Leah, who had now given Jacob 3 children, had the true desire that she would become drawn to or closer with Jacob because of this. However, unfortunately, that wasn't what happened. Then the fourth child was born. And his name was named Judah, and this means to praise the Lord. Here you can see how Leah's way of thinking possibly changed a bit. She was thinking just about her relationship with Jacob when she had her sons, and she kept thinking that Jacob would love her more because of it, but it just never changed. And after her fourth son, she turned her love rather than focusing on Jacob when to then instead to God, because she realized God was the one who was blessing her. She was very happy to have had four sons and realized God really loved her so much and praised him because of this. Verse 35, he says, so she conceived again, and when she gave him birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Here she realized that perhaps she wouldn't be able to receive her husband's love, but she could. She was definitely receiving the love of God. In the people of Israel would come to be a huge number and create their own country. And there would be two main positions. And at that time, there were priests, and priests were used by God. And they were the ones who were passed on through the Levites. And this is the Levites are the people coming from Levi here. And there was another rule that was key at this time. It was the king. And first was Saul. He was from the Benjamites. And then from the time of David, it was passed on through others. And through others, through the Judah side, as well as Jesus Christ, the Savior. So if you look at the history of Israel, you can see just how much Leah and her sons contributed to this, all of course because of God's blessing. And through this, you can see how God really did bless Leah. And she realized maybe she couldn't receive, once again, her husband's love, but through her children and God's love, she would be able to bless the people of Israel. What God does is something that at the time you may not realize exactly what it is he's working or doing, but in hindsight, you can tell. Amongst you here today, there may be things like you may be wondering, like, why is it that I'm here in Utsunomiya? Why did I get married and live here in Utsunomiya? But you know, in hindsight, you can tell that there'll be a blessing, right? So Leah was able to have four sons, and in verse 35, it says that she stopped having children. And what this meaning is that Jacob would have stopped going to her tent. What is it that would have been going on in the background? Well, it would have been Rachel's jealousy. She would have realized that even though Jacob was coming to, you know, Rachel, her tent, numerous times, it was only Leah that was having children. So in Rachel is like really angry with Leah. And she's then Rachel got upset with Jacob, saying, why is it that you won't give me children? However, this wasn't Jacob's fault. He went to her tent many more times than that of Leah. But Leah was the one who was only having children. And so Rachel's telling him he's got to do something about it. And Jacob was being condemned by his wife for doing something that, being the problem for something that he had no control over. In verse 2, he said, am I in the place of God who has kept you from having children? He's like, this isn't my fault. I'm doing my part. And so he's kind of getting upset with her. And Rachel, who was distraught over this, came up with this idea. And what is it? Well, she realized that there is these female slaves, and she had one by the name of Bilhah. And she realized that if she couldn't have children, that if she gave her servant to her slave to Jacob, then through them, she would be able to, in a sense, have children. And this wasn't something that was immoral in those days. It was something that actually regularly occurred. And it was the same thing that Sarah had done with Abraham. As they weren't able to have children because they were quite old and wanted children, then what Sarah thought to do was to give her slave Hagar to Abraham, the child that was born between them was Ishmael, and that's how she decided that they would have children. So in this way, Rachel was giving her slave Bilhah to Jacob and allowing them to have children in her place. So children were born. The first one was a boy by the name of Dan. And the name means to vindicate or judge correctly. And Rachel was declaring that she was vindicated in this way. The other child that was born was Naphtali, and that means to struggle. And Rachel was almost confident that maybe she was finally winning against her sister through this in their struggle to have children. However, through this, when Leah realized what was going on, then she got upset and she's like, oh, well, I'll give my slave to Jacob as well. And her name was Zilpah. And so through Zilpah, then also children were born. The first one was Gad, and this means good fortune. The other child born was by the name of Asher, and this means happy. So in this way, through Zilpah, Leah was also able to obtain two more children through Jacob. After this, there was something that happened, an incident that takes place in verses 14 through 16. There was an older son of Leah by the name of Reuben. He would have been 5 or 6 by then. And he went out to get mandrake plants in the fields. And these are red plants with red and white flowers, and they kind of have these like apple-shaped apple things on them. They're called love apples, actually, in English. And when you eat them, actually, it has a benefit to women to be able to come pregnant more easily. And there's this one time when Reuben found some of these, and he was going to give it to Leah, and she would have realized what they were. And then when Rachel saw that, then she would have asked, can you give me some of those? And hoping in that way to get pregnant. Leah said, well, okay, I'll give it to you, but I'm going to set some condition here for you and tell Jacob that he has to come to me tonight. So they made this deal. And Jacob came back from work, it would have been, and he would have gone to Rachel's tent, of course, but then Leah would have said, nope, please come to my tent tonight. I've already talked to my younger sister about this. So verse 16 states, so when Jacob came in from the fields that evening, Leah went out to meet him, and he slept with her that night. The first son born out of this was Issachar, and the meaning of this is reward. And the second one was Zebulun, meaning gift and to dwell with. So Leah had given Jacob directly 6 sons, and she was thinking, still that Jacob would love her much for doing this. However, that still wasn't the case, and after that, it states that she gave birth to a daughter and named her Dinah. However, Jacob's love just never changed toward Leah. And Leah stopped having children, and Rachel did, actually. And finally, this son was born through Rachel, and the name given was Joseph. Joseph means to take away or to add. And so it's kind of like contradicting words with the same meaning. So because Joseph was born, Rachel was finally freed of being a woman who was not able to have children. However, just having one child was kind of like a struggle for her. She wanted to have more, so she was wanting to have another one. As a result, though, afterward, Rachel would have one more child, and that was quite a bit later. Right now, the children that had been born were in the area of Mesopotamia, and they would go back to the promised area. And at that time, Rachel would have another child, and he would be named Benjamin. when Benjamin was born, though, unfortunately, Rachel passed away. And so in this way, this is how all the children were born. This took place over a period of 7 years. And so this period of 7 years was when 11 children were born. So you can tell there had to have been multiple women involved for this to happen. So when Jacob's looking back over his married life, what kind of reflection would you think he would have had? It was a very quiet and peaceful one? Probably not. He would have had four women he was involved with, and all these children, and all of their jealousy going back and forward. So it likely would have been quite a period of 7 years for him. And you could see all of the different aspects of human desires going back and forth, and all the different things that would have likely happened because of this. However, even through all of these crazy things going on, you can see how God's plan was progressively going forward as intended, because God had promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob as well that their ancestors, that the descendant, descendants would have become as the number of sand or the stars. And if this hadn't happened, then there would have been no way that that could have actually come to pass. You can see in this way that God uses people's desires and sinful nature still to accomplish what his plan is that's going on in the background. God's plan is one that is something that can never be off-railed by humans' actions. In Proverbs 19:21, it says, "Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." Right now, around the world, the country that has the most number of Christians is, do you know? It's not America, and it's not in Korea or even South America. The country with the most Christians right now is actually China. China has at least 1 million or more Christians. But that's a communist country, right? And they don't really let Christianity in. And actually, churches in China right now are being closed by the government. And this news is something that we hear about numerous times, actually. You hear about churches closing or pastors being arrested. And you can know that the Chinese government is trying to cross out these countries, churches. However, one of the greatest contributors to the number of Christians in China is actually Mao Zedong. Do you know him? All of you who are studying for tests in school, you'll probably have heard about him. And why can we say that he was contributing to this? Is that in 1949, the Communist Revolution took place in China, and it became the People's Republic of China. The first head of state was Mao Zedong. And what did he do first? He wanted to get rid of the churches, get rid of Christianity. In those days, of course, there were Christians as well. At first, what he did was that in China domestically, all of the missionaries were there. He sent every single one of them out of the country. Why did he do that? Well, in those days, the churches in China actually had about 90% of their funds coming in from out of the country. And so if he was able to get rid of the missionaries, then the funding would disappear. And so for this period of 1949 to 1951, he tried to eliminate all the churches by getting the missionaries out. But the churches didn't disappear. Actually, the Christians in China would always ask the missionaries for help in the past for things they needed. And if that route disappeared, so they started to pray directly to God for anything they needed. And in that way, their faith just increased. Mao Zedong got upset about that, so he tried a different tactic. What he did next was that he just closed the churches. He shut them down, locked them, and just figured that if he closed places where Christians would gather, then they would just disappear. but people just decided to have their worship services at houses. So they just started worshiping at houses, and this actually increased the number of Christians. Then what happened? Mao Zedong decided that it was because there were church leaders that was the problem. So he decided to arrest all of the pastors of churches. And then if the leaders were gone, he figured then there wouldn't be churches anymore. So he started making up all these false lies and imprisoning pastors. And so the leaders did disappear. And so he thought the churches would go away, but that wasn't what happened, because the pastors in those days had actually studied theology mainly in Europe. And in Europe, it was kind of theology's teaching. There were no miracles, and that there was no healing, and that the Bible wasn't true in some ways. And because they had this like false theology, the churches wouldn't have grown. So actually now the people were forced to start studying the Bible by themselves, and they realized that the era of miracles had not ended, and that they could pray for healing, and that Jesus Christ, you know, had been resurrected. And so because of this, actually the church grew even more. So Mao Zedong had tried all these tactics, but nothing had been successful, and rather it just created the reverse problem of more Christians. So what they did next was they created this huge project nationwide. And after Mao Zedong had passed away, they got all these statements from Mao Zedong after he had died, and wanted everyone in China to read them. But because of China's large size, there were people reading, you know, they each spoke their own dialect, and so they couldn't read these important things that Mao Zedong had said. So they decided to have Mandarin Chinese be the national language and made everyone in the country learn it. Of course, in those days, there were people who couldn't read, and so they wanted to increase their literacy rate and did that so that basically everyone could read it, and they could read the Mandarin Chinese. And so in this way, everybody could read. And the result of that was that a Mandarin Chinese Bible was made, and then all of a sudden everyone could read the Bible. And this was a huge contribution to spreading the gospel and the truth of Christianity. So what Mao Zedong had done actually all turned into be things that helped further God's plan by spreading Christianity in China. You can see how God used even his terrible plans to further his plan. Around the world, regardless of where you look, you can see that there really isn't any bright line shining. In Russia, you can see war between Russia and Ukraine. You can see the Gaza area and Israel and the Hamas issues. And there's information about people being arrested, but we still don't know what's going on. And then also in North Korea and in Taiwan, there's issues as well. In Africa, too, there's all kinds of issues between different groups of people. There's global warming, and there's disasters going on, you know, one after another as well. Regardless of where you look, you can't see light. So you may wonder, what is it that's going to happen to this world? Well, you can know that God has already told us what's going to happen in the book of Revelation. And we actually have already read through the book of Revelation here in this church. And actually, my series on Revelation is going to be published into a book, and I encourage you to read that for reference. Anyway, the end of this world is going to come, and God will be the winner. He will have victory. That is the message of the Bible, and that is where we are headed. That's where humanity is headed. It may seem that humanity is headed a different way, but that's not going to be the case, because God's plan will always prevail. And believing in God will allow you to not have anxiety or fear. You can always have hope and peace. In this way, we can be strong in our faith. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we realize that around the world, there's all kinds of different things going on, and we can't see hope and light in the world anywhere. But when we open the Bible, we can see, Lord, that your plan is going according to how you desire. And we can be thankful for that. We can trust you, God, and walk with you. And we thank you for that opportunity and the joy and happiness we have in doing that. And this week, Lord, we ask that we can have an even deeper relationship with you. Please help us in this way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this coming week and forevermore. Amen.